Warwick. Such a beautiful song, and yeah, so fitting. Well, as Shamil has mentioned already, and I have, we're in the second week of just a two-part series. The other pastor of the church here, as most of you know, Colin, he'll be back on the ground tomorrow, so he'll be back preaching next Sunday. And he'll be starting off on something different as well as we get ready to head off to the Christmas run-up. But we have been looking at authentic Jesus followers. And that's who we are. Well, that's who we're meant to be. And as I mentioned during communion, last week we looked at and focused on who are we as, as an authentic Jesus follower. Now that I'm in Christ, what does that look like? And I was just going to ask, how did you guys find those daily affirmations? Did anyone sort of take them home, find them uplifting, encouraging at all? I hope you did. I've been doing mine for a few weeks before I started this series, and it's just been amazing chatting with a few people, and even last night at the youth event that we had here, a movie we watched, just the emphasis on how important it is that we speak encouraging words into our life. And it sounds weird, and I was speaking with Ruth last night, it sounds really worldly to say it, but the reality is, if we want to think better of ourselves, we need to speak positive things in our life. And Jesus encourages that, and the Bible encourages that. And that's why he's given us these things and statements that we can speak over ourselves, in particular about how God sees us. Not how the world sees us, but how God sees us in Christ. But like many of you, and today, as we're going to jump in from the who am I to now what do we do? If I am an ambassador, if I am an authentic Jesus follower, what does that mean that I do? Now, like many of us, I've found myself from time to time emotionally invested in stories that sadly don't quite turn out how they seemed in the beginning. And recently, my attention was drawn to not so much a story, but actually a video on YouTube. It's a video about people who are colorblind seeing sight, true color, for the first time. And maybe you've seen these videos. They advertise these glasses that are supposed to cure colorblindness. Well, not cure it, but fix colorblindness when you put them on. And there's many of them, and they've got millions of views. They look amazing when you see them. You're like, wow, you've got people in one of the titles, 66 years and sees color for the first time. And you're like, that's amazing. And I was amazed when I was watching these videos, and I got hooked, and even to the point where I was shedding a few tears. I was so amazed that I even thought, this would actually be great to use as an illustration in my sermon last week. But what if I was to tell you that those beautiful moments were all staged? Just a clever marketing tactic. It would be a letdown, right? And let down I was when I discovered the truth about these videos. I couldn't use it anymore for my sermon illustration. And on top of that, as I'd said, I'd invested in these videos. Luckily, it was only emotional investment, few tears from both eyes. But going through that experience showed me and made me think about how often do I or us as Christians fail and fall short in representing what we truly believe. How often do we, like those glasses, overpromise and underdeliver, as in particularly ambassadors of Christ? I imagine maybe you have found yourself in a similar situation, too invested in a story, a situation, a relationship, and so you're faced with the temptation to misrepresent yourself. Maybe it's embellishing on a resume, or the blessing of social media, you can curate a perfect image that people see. Or maybe it means spending beyond your means to impress others. These attempts to conform, gain approval, avoid rejection can lead to grave consequences in our lives. But as followers of Christ, we are called to live to a different standard. As an authentic follower of Jesus, what do we do then? If we're called to live to a standard. Because these examples, they highlight our human tendency to misrepresent ourselves, but they also serve as a powerful reminder that in Christ, we are God's masterpieces, bringing God's purpose to everything we do. We are citizens of heaven, so we think and live differently. And today we'll see that in Christ, our true calling as authentic Jesus followers is to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ and salt and light to the world. Firstly, we are chosen ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We hear the word ambassador a lot these days, but what does it really mean? Is it just someone who's trying to sell something like these colorblind glasses that I was caught up in? Well, yes, and also no. Because today an ambassador can be known as any messenger authorized to talk on behalf of something. But when the Apostle Paul was writing this, the Roman Empire was currently ruling over the people. And an ambassador to them was very different. That only referred to what was known as a Roman imperial legate, who was someone who was second in charge to the highest ranking officer in the land. So then, when we see John in John chapter 15, he says, "You," or speaking of us, "didn't choose me, God, but God chose me." Now I've confused myself. Sorry. "You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit." So the "you" is referring to us, and the "me" and the "I" is referring to God. God chose us. And then Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, he says that we are ambassadors, Christ's ambassadors. So when we see this, we don't get the gist that they're saying that God was just scraping the bottom of the barrel, looking for an ambassador to see what he could find, and we were all that's left. No, that's not what they're saying. John says that God chose every single one of us that is here this morning. Each one of us has been appointed to the position of Christ's ambassadors. As ambassadors, God gives us authority to speak on Christ's behalf. Now let me repeat that, because this is an incredible reality that I don't think we grasp enough. As ambassadors, we have the authority as if Christ himself was speaking through us and our lives. As Christians, we have this incredible authority. It's written in the Bible, yet so often we struggle with fear. We fear and we worry that we don't know enough. We aren't good enough to share the gospel with others. So what do we do when that's the case? We just don't even try. We're worried that if I make a mistake speaking to this person about Jesus, they might never want to hear or think about him ever again. It's safer if we don't say anything. Or the common excuse or thought that we have is God will use someone else, someone more qualified, maybe the pastor or the elders or a ministry leader, just not me. I'm not good enough. But what does it say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 19? And I want us to pay particular attention to the pronouns that I've highlighted here for us. And it says, "And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ, and God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. It's quite clear in the reading there that Paul didn't reserve the task for pastors and church leaders. He said that God has given us, meaning all of us, every authentic Jesus follower, because we've been appointed as ambassadors for and Jesus Christ is speaking through us. When we hear that, that should give us an incredible amount of relief, a release of the pressure that we often feel when we want to talk to other people about Jesus, or someone asks us a question about following Jesus. But it gets even better, because then we need to remember back in Luke chapter 10, verse 16, Jesus said these words. He said, "Anyone who accepts your message is also accepting me, and anyone who rejects you is rejecting me, and anyone who rejects me is rejecting God who sent me." As long as you are sharing the gospel message that Jesus was sharing during his ministry, the pressure is off. It doesn't matter if the people accept your message. If they accept it, it's good news, because they not only accepted you and your message, but they've accepted Christ Jesus and now are in Christ. But if they reject your message, they haven't rejected you personally, how we often take offense of it. They have rejected Jesus and rejected the one who sent him. And it can be hard, because we're told in the world to worry and fear about how people think about us. But we can't worry if people reject us when we are sharing the good message about Jesus. What we should be worrying about more so as ambassadors of Christ is that once you are in Christ and have been appointed as an ambassador, the reality is that you no longer represent yourself. We now represent God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus." Remember our citizenship. It's no longer of this world anymore. But we know the reality is we're still living here. We're in the world, but not of it. So the hope is that as ambassadors here, we might be able to bring a glimpse of heaven to those we connect with. As ambassadors of Christ, the world might tell us things like, "Put yourself first. You are the most important in life." But Jesus, speaking through us, says, "Consider others better than yourselves." The world tells us eye for an eye, revenge is important. Jesus says to us, though, and through us, "Pray for those who persecute you." The world says, "Hoard your time, your money, your possessions. It's precious. Be greedy." But Jesus says through us, "Be irrationally generous to those around you." And I had a perfect example of this in my own life. Just this week, I was in the city, and so I thought I'd catch up for lunch with Shamila, because she's working in the city now. And after lunch, I was driving home, and I was driving down Anzac Highway, just coming out of the city. And I was driving, there was a bus, public bus in front of me, and I noticed as the bus went past the bus stop, this guy here is waving his hands and looking all angry and upset. Couldn't completely understand what he was saying or doing, but I just assumed something hadn't happened. Maybe the bus hadn't stopped, not sure what was going on. And immediately I felt, oh, that's terrible, that's so bad. I kept driving past him, and then I had this prompting. It's like, "You should turn around." I was like, "But I've just been out, I'm just going home. Drove past one place where I could do a roundabout. Looking in my rear vision mirror, he's still there, sort of looking around, and I'm like, no. And then I had the prompting again. You should turn around and see if this man needs a lift. And so the Holy Spirit got the better of me. I turned around, waited for traffic, and then I was like, you know, my luck, he's going to be gone when I get back. And turned around, and then I didn't speed because that would have been a sin. So I drove nice and carefully, and then I got to a place where I had to do another U-turn. And thankfully, he's still there. I could see him, and I was like, all right, at least he's there. And then I pulled over after the traffic had gone past, wound down the window. I said, oh, mate, I saw you. Looked like the bus missed you. Where are you going? Do you need a lift? And I don't know if he just thought I was creepy or what, but he just said, oh, no, 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 I'm all right, thank you. I'm waiting for another bus. I was like, what are you doing, God? I drove off and I was like, okay, no worries. And as I was driving down the rest of Anzac Highway, I was thinking, like, what was all that about, God? And then it dawned on me, is that it was just a test. God wanted to see how I was going to represent him in a situation where no one would have seen it. No one knew about it until right now when I'm sharing it as an illustration. And so often we face situations like that where God and the Holy Spirit are prompting us to do something, but no one's around. So we don't represent God as authentic Jesus followers. God chose you. He chose me to be an ambassador of Christ so that we can show his love on earth as it is in heaven. Secondly, Jesus called us to be salt and light to the world. So we're chosen as ambassadors of Christ. What does that look like though in everyday life? Maybe it means checking to see if someone needs a lift. But how do we actually represent him in a world that is so desperately in need? Well, thankfully, as we're going to see, Jesus gives us these beautiful metaphors in Matthew chapter 5, right near the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. In verse 13 and 14, he says this about us. He says, we are the salt of the earth, and we are the light of the world. As I mentioned to the kids, what a strange thing to call people. In particular, he was speaking to his disciples, calling them the salt and the light of the world. But as we think about it, and we've already thought about it a little bit, so this part's a lot easier for you guys, when we consider the elements of both salt and light and what that they can actually accomplish, it starts to make heaps of sense what Jesus is saying. And even more so for us today, knowing already that we have been chosen to be ambassadors for Christ. Now, when I was reading this originally, something that I hadn't noticed about these verses until looking through a few commentaries was that these are things that I often thought Jesus was saying, you should try and be salt in the world and you should try and work your way to being a light. But that is not actually the case. What he says here is actually a fact that he's stating about any follower of Jesus. He says that we already are these things. We don't have a choice. We are salt and light to the world. And if his disciples are that, then so are we. Now, salt, which some of the kids knew, was commonly used to season food, but it was also often used to preserve things in the olden days, and even some traditions still use it today. And that was because it has this ability to permeate and penetrate things so well, everything it touches. And so as ambassadors of Christ, and we are now salt, as Jesus said, that means we must have that same ability to penetrate and permeate the world that we are living in. But Jesus didn't just stop there at calling us salt. In the rest of verse 13, he says, "But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? Will it be thrown out? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless." Jesus says that salt can lose its flavor. When Jesus says salt can lose its flavor, he's not talking about the science of salt, because if you know about that, it can't. It physically can't. It would have to stop existing to lose its flavor. He's using a metaphor here. But what was Jesus meaning by this metaphor? Well, I believe, as I explained to the kids, that he was reminding his disciples, as he reminds us today, that like salt, we have vital roles to play in the world. If we fail to fulfill that role, we lose our impact. It might sound harsh when you think about that and think about ourselves. But consider it this way. When you've got something at home you've bought from the shops for a purpose, maybe a kettle, you buy it, you bring it home, and the purpose of a kettle is what? To heat up water. That's right. Very simple. We take it home, we use it, and maybe a year later, for whatever reason, it stops working. What do you do with it? Do you keep it? Do you leave it there and heat up water and put it in just so you can pour it in your tea and coffee? No, it's silly. Its purpose, it's not fulfilling the purpose it was created for, so we discard it. And in the same way, if we as ambassadors of Christ are not actively living out our faith, we risk becoming irrelevant to the world. As ambassadors of Christ, we are meant to function distinctly from this world. Our role is to penetrate the culture with love and truth of Jesus Christ. Bringing a new way of living, we are also called to preserve the goodness in a world that can easily become corrupt, infusing it with flavor, with the flavor of Christ's teaching and values. But as ambassadors, we don't just have the function of salt alone. That would be a bit weird if we were all salty and nothing else. But Jesus said that we are also light in verse 14. He says, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden." Jesus still here talking metaphorically, because in all of my years, I have never seen a glowing Christian illuminating the night. But through this metaphor, Jesus reveals two practical functions of that an ambassador of Christ is supposed to be fulfilling as light. He begins with, "The light we are is like a city on a hilltop." Now, when I was younger, I lived at my parents' house down at Wollonga. And I was always amazed that at night time we had a nice big reserve next to our house. And it gets pretty dark in Wollonga if you've been down there, even darker in Victor Harbour. But from Wollonga, which is almost 50 kilometres away from the CBD, if I was to look towards the direction of the city, I couldn't physically see it, but you could see this incredible illumination of the city lights lighting up the night sky. As ambassadors of Christ, we are to be the light of the world, he says. Even those who can't physically see us, people in the world who are lost because of the chaos, the darkness, the trouble, the danger that they face and are surrounded with. Just like a city lights cannot be hidden, we are to be that light. I mean, it's in our name as a church. We are to be a lighthouse, representing God to the world. But again, Jesus didn't stop there. He continued in verse 15, where he says, "No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house." Now, Jesus takes us from a generalization that being light to the whole world And then he now shows us that like a lamp, we will not be hidden away. Instead, we will be placed in specific areas where our influence can best be used and felt. For you, that might be a community group that you're a part of. It might even be your family, your workplace. It could be your neighborhood. It could even be the local cafe that you go to every day or every second day. It could be the church here. It can really be any place that you visit frequently. But how do we shine our light in these places? Well, I've been using the New Living Translation, but I didn't think it really did justice to the translation of verse 16. But the ESV captured it beautifully, where it says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Just as we saw that we are appointed as ambassadors of Christ, we received the authority of Christ speaking through us. Again, here we see that the light doesn't actually originate from us, but we have the ability to let the light shine by Christ living in us and working through our good works. No matter how small these good works might be or even how big, when we do them through Christ, all that it does is points people to God. And eventually, we hope that they will give him the glory for it. Authentic Jesus followers are salt and light to the world, which means we have practical functions that we should be actively participating in. As salt, we preserve the influence for the world, preserve and influence the world for Christ. And as light, we bring hope and truth where there is darkness. Authentic Jesus followers are ambassadors for Jesus Christ and salt and light to the world. So next time you're thinking about how often am I as an authentic Jesus follower falling short of representing what I truly believe, remember this checklist. As an authentic Jesus follower, we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ and salt and light to the world. Firstly, that means that God has chosen us to be an ambassador. We weren't the last one left. He chose us to show his love on earth as in heaven. We all have a responsibility to share the message of Jesus. We also have the authority of Christ speaking through us, so we don't need to fear. We don't need to fear rejection because we no longer represent ourselves. We now represent God. Secondly, Jesus called us to be salt and light, permeating and illuminating the darkness of the world. When salt loses its flavor, or light is hidden, they are not fulfilling their purpose. In the same way, if we are not living authentically as Jesus' followers, we're missing the mark. Like salt, we are distinct from the world. We penetrate with a new way of life. We influence the world for Christ. And like light, we cannot be hidden. We are a lighthouse to those in darkness. And we let our light shine by Christ working through us in our good deeds so that they may give glory to God. But are we going to take this seriously? Is the question we need to think about. Are we going to live our lives as ambassadors of God, of Christ? Whether it's in our homes, our workplaces or communities, Christ is speaking through us. The world needs us to shine brightly and preserve what is good in a world that desperately needs God's love. But now we know who we are. And what we do, the thing is, the only way we can do this is if we truly believe it as I talked about last week. And so I want to encourage you, if you've been doing these daily affirmations, I've got one more for you to add to the list today, because it's so important for us. If we want to believe this about ourselves, we need to remind ourselves as God does. As authentic Jesus followers, As authentic Jesus followers, I am and you are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he has prepared for me to do. Secondly, I am a citizen. We are citizens of heaven. Our life belongs to God because earth is not our home. We think differently and live differently. And thirdly, we are anointed ambassadors of Christ, empowered, equipped, and called to be salt and light that reaches people far from God. Let me pray. Father, we thank you once again for the fact that the only reason we have an opportunity to be authentic Jesus followers is because of your Son's sacrifice for us, opening up a way for us to receive a new identity in you. And I thank you, Lord, that that new identity isn't just us lazing about enjoying life, but it is us actively participating in your redeeming work of the rest of the world. And so I pray, Lord, as we live our lives and we are reminded of the fact that we are your ambassadors, that you would encourage us in everything we do, from the littlest work to the biggest job that we have in our life, Lord. Because those are the things that shine your light and permeate into the world for your glory, so that more people can come to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.